Ladies and gentlemen, we are back in the building, and guess what? Everybody's here today. Episode 16 of the High and Outside Podcast. It's your boy Dante. You know where to follow me at October Zonte on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Barbershare Co. on Twitter and Instagram as well. Subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. We have four very affordable tiers, man. The highest is $10, so we're not asking for too much bread. Just to continue to give you this content and expand what we do. So just if you can support and you can show love that way, please help us out. We appreciate it. For anybody that wants to get any merch, we got hats, we got t-shirts, we got sweatshirts. Fall is coming. We got a lot of good stuff. We got coffee mugs, etc. Just check us out. For those who indulge, we have lighters. We have a lot of stuff. We got some good merch. So just check it out. BCNetShop.com. And for all things Barbershare Net, every show we have, once again, Scott's been doing some great work at OTAs. Please check that out. Check out his YouTube as well. And Stephanie Knight the Handless is on the rise. It is coming back, as well as King's Landing. There's a lot of good football content. Check out the BCNet.com. Once again, that's the BCNet.com. And like I said, we've been running the three-man weave for 3 weeks now, because before that it was Courtney, and then for the last 2 weeks it's been, you know, Malik and Sid. But like I said, we have a full boat today, so I'm gonna bring my team in. What's going on, everybody? How y'all feeling? Courtney, kick us off, because you are back. How you feeling?
I'm ready to party, and I'm ready to discuss one of these baseball teams, one of whom maybe I'm a little biased because they did employ me at one point. They actually gave me my first shot in this here industry. And I can't wait to get into that. But I'm really excited. And thank you for letting me continue to harass you guys and force you to admit that you missed me like I missed you.
Oh, yes. No, we had to let it be known. Otherwise, there were going to be problems. Steve, how you feeling, bro?
Yeah. Knowing that it's always me and Courtney in the morning, like putting baseball stats and everything, and then waking up to just like, hey, niggas, I bet you miss me.
I don't ask for too much. If I tell you I miss you, I want to hear it. I want to hear
it.
Say it back. Say it back.
Hey, man.
I meant that from the bottom of my heart. I missed y'all. I'm happy to be back.
Oh, truly. I'm so happy to have everyone back. Yeah, shout out Courtney, man. Like, even when you're not here, you're still here because, like, we do our morning baseball stats. It's like my morning news.
I am always here. I'm an omnipresent being.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the Mets. Y'all spent $800 million and not getting no hit today. Was that yesterday? No, that was yesterday.
That was today. No, that was
today. That was today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Long day, saved my life.
Long day?
Very long day. Like,
so honestly, it could have been worse. It should have been worse, but we'll get into that. It's fine.
No, definitely. Malik, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, bro. It's been a good first, what, 6 days of October. Some nice base. Got to see
October. Some nice base.
Oh, shit. August, wherever October. We are.
My brother in Christ here already in postseason mode? I need
It's the pennant chase, bro. It's the pennant chase.
Oh God!
I mean, y'all scratching and clawing out there. Yeah, we need them out there in Dallas, so y'all need them all. Like, we everything. All.
I thought it was September 2 months ago for us. So now we're in that.
Oh, Braves home run? No, yeah, Michael Harris.
Look at the way your eyes just lit up and how it was like.
I mean, they're still losing, but, you know.
Let's say, I saw the light in your eye, and then you were just like, wait a second. It doesn't mean anything.
it's still 5-4.
Yeah, Atlanta Braves will do that to you, won't they?
Yeah. I mean, speaking of the Braves, let's get right into it. Major League Baseball, as we know, they have these what are called jewel events where, you know, they have what they've been doing is a neutral site game. Of course, the Field of Dreams game was amazing. They've had some other sites, and this year they decided to do the Motor Speedway Classic. They went to Bristol Motor Speedway. This was the first professional baseball game in the state of Tennessee, and they expected 90,000. They sold 90,000 tickets. So, you know, of course, some of the sight lines were ugly, and we're going to get into all of that in a second. But, I mean, Mother Nature did not allow the event to happen. It was rained out after the first inning. They tried to get the game in, but at the end of the day, the radar pretty much told them, hey, it's going to rain all night. We can't do this. Brought it back the next day. Crowd was sparse. It was, you know, a lot of empty seats, but at the same time, you still have more people than your average baseball game. And you ended up getting a good game. But with that being said, there were a lot of issues with this
logistical
event. You know, we can call
issues.
It Yeah, we'll call it a logistical nightmare, to put it politely at this point. You know, we saw the infamous Twitter picture of the glizzy with no bun. Just
insane, by the way.
Just a raw glizzy and aluminum the foil.
They were raw dogging the glizzy.
Yeah. Yeah,
it was a singular shaboying in a piece of foil paper.
Just literally a glizzy in aluminum foil. They had nacho chips with no nacho cheese, so just the chips.
Just chips.
And it just seems like, you know, Major League Baseball was not prepared
because they ran out of beer.
Ran out of beer before the first pitch.
Running out of beer at a NASCAR racetrack is like damn near unprecedented. Okay. Like, that's not something that happens. I'm from Alabama. I've been to Talladega. Yeah. That's not something that happens.
And this is where we get into our issues. Well, our questions about, you know, the overall presentation that Major League Baseball put on. And this is my thing, because, again, I've sat through several rain delays, but several 2-hour rain delays at Truist where they didn't run out of beer. Don't get me wrong. You know, 61,000 people is not 90,000 people, but it's still a lot of fucking people. So, I mean, you talk about the amount of people that they knew were coming to this event. For you to fail in that aspect, and then talking to NASCAR fans who told me, well, bro, this is why we bring coolers into the races. This is why they allow us to do that. Because, first of all, I was told that Bristol only has a few concession stands per ring of seats. So it was already, again, a logistical nightmare from jump in that aspect. And so with the rain, another thing, and this is my main thing, before we even get into how shitty the concessions were, there's no way you should have played one game with everything you had to do to get that game off. I think that Saturday and Sunday should have been played at Bristol. So then you give multiple people a chance to come out there. Because like you said, a lot of people, and this is why the crowd was so sparse, on Sunday, a lot of people drove up and were driving back, like whether it be from Cincinnati or Atlanta. They weren't staying. And then when I saw those hotel prices, brother, that's why I was not there. Because there's no way in hell I'm paying over $250 for a hotel in Bristol, Tennessee. Are you crazy? No. So it was just a nightmare. I wouldn't do it
for Bristol, Connecticut either, I would say.
Studios that bad.
Exactly.
At all, so, really. Yeah.
So, Courtney, I'll kick it to you first. Like you said, you've been to Talladega, so you know the NASCAR setup and whatnot. Just what were your overall thoughts about the Speedway Classic, and what could they have done better here?
For me, it kind of just goes back to something that is true about all businesses, just being generally greedy. MLB likely had some kind of contractual agreement with whoever the supplier is for their food, maybe Aramark. I know a lot of times these companies that are in charge and responsible for catering and concessions at these stadiums can get real greedy, and they don't love the idea of people bringing in outside food and drink just because obviously it's stepping on their turf. Well, here's the thing. People wouldn't mind getting food and beverage from you if you had said food and beverage to provide. But not only, and mind you, they were running out of this before the game even started. They were running out of food before the game that eventually got rained out even began. So you were just ill-prepared entirely, which is, again, disappointing considering how much advance notice went into this and how much money Major League Baseball has to put on events of this nature. I think maybe for future reference, maybe we just keep it to small scale events. Maybe that's why the Field of Dreams game was so successful, just because it did occur on a slightly smaller scale. I know there were issues with people and like not being able to get tickets because they were going to residents within that geographic region, which I don't think is a problem. Same with the game that they played in Alabama at Rickwood Field. I wouldn't be mad if they ran that back again. But this was a logistical nightmare, again, beyond the concessions. Some of the sight lines were just incredibly poor. I know a lot of people just wanted to be there, but it was just disappointing to see, this collective in the baseball industry being as valuable as it is, and Major League Baseball being as valuable an entity as it is, have such a poor showing on such a grand scale for something that could have very well opened the doors for baseball in a state that has very much been looking for it in Nashville.
Yeah, it really gave NCAA Final Four vibes, where people are sitting in these NFL stadiums trying to watch a basketball game, and it's like, bro, you gotta stay at home.
Thing gift like from WWE, and they're all the way up there, and then the camera just pans out.
You could have stayed at home. But Sid, me and you, we talked about actually going to this game, and like we were thanking God that we backed out. But how do you feel about the game? And like you said, is it more so a weather issue, or is it no, MLB really dropped the ball with this
one? Shout out Eli White for two home runs in that game, just because, you know, shout out that man. Logistical nightmare for sure. Kind of like the same vibes as like that one festival, Fire Festival or whatever. It's kind of like that MLB mode, which is like insane to say, but like I hope nobody had to do anything crazy to get themselves food or water at that venue. But I didn't even know MLB could host a game on like a racetrack. Like, there's just so many different things that I've learned in this situation. But like, yeah, it comes down to like this just being a logistical nightmare. And just moving forward, if we're going to continue to have these dual events, like, let's maybe do a little bit more work and a little bit more community surveying just to see how things work. Because like, there are MLB stadiums that let you bring food in, like Camden Yards lets you bring your own food in, or at least they did for like the 5 years I lived there. So like, it's possible, it's probable. We just have to like make sure we're doing the right things to get the right stuff in the right places for people. Because like, if I had gone to this event, like, there's no way in hell I'm ever going back. Like, I already try to avoid Tennessee as is. Yeah, nah, I'm good.
Thanks. Malik, bring us home, bro. How'd you feel about the event? And we talk about, you know, they do these NutriSite games. Where would you like to see them go next? Because I know me, I threw this out there years ago. I think it would be fun to have a Hardball Classic where you come to Chicago, you pick a park, you renovate that park. We throw a game. You could guess, you know, get disposable seats that you get rid of, but you keep the stadium. You keep the seats there. Let the kids use it, whatever. I think that would be really dope. Or you play at UIC, Curtis Granderson Field, which faces downtown Chicago. I think that would be really dope. But, Malik, like I said, how do you feel about the Speedway Classic? And where does the MLB go from here? Because obviously this was about, you know, introducing Major League Baseball to the state of Tennessee. We've all heard the talks about expansion in Nashville, which I think is just a matter of when, not if. I think that's a city that professional sports really want to explore. And so, you know, with the Titans already being there, and it's just a matter of time before they expand that.
They love the Predators over there too.
Yeah, don't say the Predators are there as well. Yeah. So you'll see more teams there. So Malik, how you feel, bro?
Well, first off, I wish they kept this small jewel event game just in Iowa. The juice we got from that first Field of Dream game, the classic TA bomb, and I'm going to have to say it, we're just a few days removed from the anniversary of the knockout, but that game was perfect. And I just feel like they should have been building over that. I liked Rickwood last year, too. The NASCAR stadium, once I saw the seats and how far the outfield was from the bleachers, I knew that it didn't remind me of baseball. Like you said, it reminded me a lot of the NCAA Final Four.
Malik, can I phone you back off? Can I call it what it is?
Yeah.
It was a cash grab.
Yeah, because you can't enjoy no ball game when you can. I mean, you can barely see the
there was so much obstructed viewing, like you couldn't even actually see the field itself.
They were killing me bragging about this fucking Jumbotron. That, you know, this Jumbotron has a name. Bro, I didn't come out here to Tennessee to watch no goddamn Jumbotron. Like, are you kidding me?
Watch it at a bar for free.
Yeah.
Or for the low cost of like three Miller High Lifes, you know? Like,
I'm
going to Bristol, Tennessee.
Baseball gods, I think, were upset too. You can't predict weather. Especially, I mean, it's not like they were playing outside in Seattle or something. And weather hadn't been an issue in Rickwood or in Iowa or in the Mexico City game. I've never seen rain as an issue for that. Poor planning. The fact that you can't get concessions right at these fields, it leads me to wonder. And then even with the questions that Vegas has had with you know, I know they put they want to put shovels in ground, but we're not sure what year the A's are moving to Vegas. And then you go to Tennessee, where, like y'all said, we're supposed to be exposing baseball, a showcase game for the fans out there to cheer and go crazy, and they fuck that off. So, are we gonna be able to handle a new team somewhere? That's what I mean. I pose that major question. And then I agree with what you said earlier. Just make that a two or three game series. One game wasn't enough. I get it. You know, you're trying to push it. You're trying to get the game played. But by the second, it rained delay like two times before it even started. Just push that to Sunday. Give these teams a day to hang out in the city, get to know the city on Friday, two games over the weekend to play. But I was not impressed, like I said, and I kind of knew just looking at the logistics of the stadium that it didn't impress me, and it's definitely not something that I ever want to see again.
Definitely, bro. Definitely something we don't want to see again. The Atlanta Braves did win that game. They got a trophy. That will be the only trophy they received this year.
Eli White, man. Two bombs.
Yeah. Like I said, he had two bombs. And with that being said, we'll slide right into just a quick NL recap. It won't be long, at least from my perspective, because I don't have much to tell you.
Do we have to?
I told you last week I want Ronnie to shut it down. He was taking ground balls today for whatever the fucking reason. But he's on the shelf. Chris Sale is doing a simulated game. So, you know, they're trying to ramp him back up, getting him back in there. He wants to continue this season. But, I mean, it's been more the same for the Braves. They lost today 5-4 to the Milwaukee Brewers, who we're going to talk about later in this episode. But, yeah, man, it's been rough in Atlanta. The trade deadline, that was crazy. But the trade deadline did not go how I expected in Atlanta. I didn't expect them to exactly sell, but I expected them to be a little more aggressive in, you know, trying to get some pieces for 2026. That didn't quite happen. And now we're at a point where this season is over. They're already statistically eliminated from playoff contention. And it's just a matter of, like we talked about last week, relax. What do you do? Do you pick up Ozzie Albee's option and explore the trade market, which they've said? I think with Michael Harris making the adjustment and being this hot, they're going to walk back those ideas of maybe trading him in the offseason, even though I still contend he's probably the most valuable piece you have if you were going to, you know, start it all over. But at the same time, would you want to give up a gold glove center fielder? You know, his glove is proven. The bat has been inconsistent, but the glove is proven. So I'm not sure if you really want to give that guy up in center field of all places. But it's looking bleak for the Braves. I got to check the schedule to see when I'll be back in the building. The crowds have started to, you know, be scarce, which is crazy to see. Not only, and don't get me wrong, it has rained a lot here in Atlanta, but that ballpark is always packed. Like for the 4 years I've been there, it's been packed. But now you're having games where, I know I made a mistake earlier and said 61,000. I think the capacity is like 36 or 37 or something like that. But I was used to every night I came to the ballpark, I knew I had to wait about an hour, hour and a half after the game to let the traffic die down because it was that many people there. Like they were there. They didn't leave until the final pitch, till the fireworks went off. And that's just not the case right now because the team isn't winning. Ronnie's hurt. Austin Riley, Jesus. Austin Riley has not looked good. He ended up leaving the Speedway game, got hurt from making a play. But just the players that they've needed have not been up to par this year. And combine that with the injury to the pitching staff, you're now at a point where all five of your starters have been on IL at some point this season. Ronaldo Lopez, he's on a milk carton somewhere. I still don't know where the fuck he's at. And so it's just one of those things where it is now all eyes on 2026 for the Atlanta Braves. This season is over. We're still going to give you updates throughout the season as this last month and a half dies down. But in terms of positivity, there won't be much because there isn't much to be positive about. Like Drake Baldwin is good, but you know, now it's really time to, you know, think about outside of your core pieces, do you start to reshuffle the deck here? Because the magic of 2021 is officially, you know, that's dead. Snicker will walk away at the end of the season, 9 times out of 10. He's going to retire. So where do you go from here? Malik, you got anything about the Braves before I pass it to this hater below me?
Just stay healthy, Ronnie. Whatever happens, because I saw something that says I saw a tweet earlier. It's like, there's really no rock bottom in adulthood because it can always get worse. Well, baseball, I feel, is the same way. It can get worse, and what's been a very crappy season will turn into the worst in franchise history if that man hurts his Achilles trying to come out there and save a team that's more than 10 games back. So get Ronnie out healthy. Get Chris Sale to pitch a few innings this season to piggyback into next year. I think those should be the goal for the Braves.
Sid, the floor is yours. We're going to don't even say shit about the Braves. I don't really care what you have to say.
Oh, no.
But we'll let you go into your little Mets rant. Go ahead.
This is about the Braves. So I have a list of people that I would like to thank for all the things and all the times that that I just thought about not being a Mets fan because of the Braves. But the first person I'd like to thank is Satan I'm kidding. I'm just really happy that the Braves are finally out of here. We're not even going to go into that. The Mets are doing really bad right now. When I say bad, I mean really bad. Like, they've lost 8 of their last 9 after going on a 7-game win streak. Sans a Juan Soto homer, things were really bad today. Almost getting no hit by someone from Cleveland. Jesus Christ. Yeah, this is really bad.
Put some respect on his name.
I know. 2022 first round draft pick. Yeah.
Some respect on his name.
He's so good. No, he his pitch mix up today with the curveball and the fastball were so amazing. It was literally just fooling hitters. The Mets went 48 innings without getting a hit. That's bad. That's really bad. Like, things are bad. Luckily, they have really good baseball players. No slump is eternal. Thankfully, they played so well throughout the beginning of the year, or like the first 75% of the year, that now they can afford to lose games and still be pretty close in contention. If I'm not mistaken, per Gary Cohen, I think it was 52 days where they said the Mets and the Phillies were not separated by more than 2 games. So, yeah, and even then, like, we're only 2.5 games out. So, big boy pants time. That's it.
Yeah, man. Speaking of NLE, shout out to Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber's going to be a Hall of Famer. That's my hot take.
Why are we shouting about Kyle Schwarber?
He's having such a good season.
He's at 40 bombs.
Yeah,
he's just my guy. He's my guy.
We're giving
yes, we
people
are.
That are in our division. Ugh, nasty business.
I'm a Kyle Schwarber guy, man.
That's how far we've fallen.
Yeah, two guys. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm a White Sox fan. I cover the Braves. I'm a White Sox fan.
Oh, but here he goes.
There are two guys from the Chicago Cubs that I show love to. Javier Baez and this gentleman right here. Nah, I mean, I'm sorry. I just do. Kyle Schwarber's really good. Like, he's really good.
He's really good. That derby swing off will live rent free in my head for a while.
Oh, I have the video. Did I send y'all the video from that? From Bro, Kyle?
Send me that shit.
Yeah, I'll send it to you, but I'll send it to the chat. But no, I was so pissed because, like, the guy, Malik, I messed his name up again. He was from the Blue Jays, right? The one that hit it off the wall.
It wasn't Aranda.
I think it was Aranda.
I'm pretty sure it was Aranda.
Yeah. Wait, it was Aranda Rooker. It was Aranda.
Yeah, he hit it off the bricks, and people don't realize in Atlanta, if you hit the bricks, that's not a home run. So like that's what stopped us from getting no Pete walk off, because that's definitely what it would have been.
I know.
We were robbed of elite Pete Alonso memes.
Dog.
I mean, they would have booed him like they booed Kyle.
He would have got the MVP for the All-Star game too. Oh man. What a robbery. I hate baseball, bro. Baseball is so stupid.
No, but that shit's fire. Hopefully we see it. I mean, even though we don't really root for ties, but hopefully we see that more. That was fun. But let's get into, you know, the meat and potatoes of this episode. We really came to talk about. We got two teams. One's doing really good. One's doing really bad. Of course, I'm talking about the Milwaukee Brewers. They have overtaken the Chicago Cubs in the NL Central. They now have a 4-game lead, I believe. Anybody correct me? I believe it's 4 games.
It is 4 games.
Yep. Okay, 4-game lead. As of today, the Cubs did jack shit at the deadline. Mike Soroka isn't really a needle mover, and he got hurt.
But hey, Dante, they wanted Mike Soroka before the season started. But they lost in a money spending contest to the Washington Nationals. So actually, they ended up winning if you think about it, because they only had to give up 2 prospects in order to get Mike Soroka, who is now injured.
To get 4 rings of Mike Soroka. No, you're absolutely right. It's a shit show on the North Side. We're not talking about them today. But like I said, the Brewers are 4 games up. My one gripe. I won't say gripe, but before I pass it to everybody else, it shows you how checked out Andrew Vaughn was on the South Side. Because this man,
that one go, are you?
This man moved an hour and a half north and suddenly remembers how to hit a fastball. He's on fucking fire. He's going crazy.
6
he's
home going runs berserk. In his first 20 games with an 1118 OPS. Yeah,
I don't think I ever saw him with an 11-18 OPS, and he played for us for like 5 years.
What so, a changed environment can do for a guy.
Yeah, they were really just checked out. I think that's just the example. The number 1,000, Kopech got a ring last year, but I can go down the list. I'm not going to do that right now. Colson Montgomery is saving lives on the South Side. But, yes. But Andrew Vaughn has been amazing. He really has been amazing. The Brewers, again, everybody thought – Craig Council leaving, what are they going to do? They haven't missed a beat. Like, they are still one of the best teams in that division right now, currently the best team in that division. And it looks like it's only up from here. So it's a matter of, I want to ask you guys, when we talk about the Brewers, you know, where do you see them going? Because, I mean, this is a team that they make the playoffs and then they lose. They're kind of like the Twins in that sense. You know, the Twins usually make the wild card, but like the Brewers will make the playoffs, but they don't really win series. Is this finally the year where we can see the Brewers actually go do something, or is, you know, it's just, you know, it's cute, you know, but at the end of the day, it's just a subpar division being a subpar division. Courtney, I'll go to you first.
In previous seasons, I might have said you are correct, Dante. You know, they have this habit of winning the NL Central simply because everyone else in their division tends to take a step back. In this case, I mean, the Cardinals started off like kind of hot to begin the season. They fizzled out. The Cubs also started off hot. It doesn't help that everyone on their in their lineup has gone soft and has kind of cooled off a little bit. That was crazy. I'm so sorry.
Today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Bad freezing. But no, it's just kind of fizzled out. So they're getting. I don't want to say they're getting hot at the right time, because again, they are 44 of their last 16, or 44 and 16 of their last 60. So like, you got to trust the larger sample size in baseball, right? That's what I would always say. And that being said, the Brewers got a good, and they're doing this without home runs. Someone has to double check me on this. I'm pretty sure they have the second fewest home runs in baseball. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the Padres are the only team with less home runs than the Brewers. So they're doing this all without the long ball. I mean, the Brewers just have a penchant of doing everything else well. They steal a ton of bases. I actually think they lead the league in stolen bases, which is crazy to think about, because especially when you think who's on that team.
They get on base so much too.
They get on, yeah, they get on
everyone base. In this lineup. Sand one person has like a 350 or like a 330 plus OBP. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like they do everything.
Yeah, they're amazing. And again, their pitching is fantastic. Bear in mind, they started the season with like no one available. No one was healthy. And again, they're also doing this with only two pitchers that are making over $5 million on their roster, in Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta. Again, contrast that with the Dodgers, who have 10 pitchers that are making over $5 million this season. And again, look, I mean, the Brewers have the most wins in Major League Baseball right now. They have 69 wins, which is more than anybody in
both leagues.
It's, yes, very nice. Wow, this is a crazy
episode. I'm so sorry.
This is a crazy episode. But no, I really think, regardless of where they finish, this National League playoff is going to be absolute cinema. Mets, Phillies, Dodgers, Padres, Cubs, Brewers would literally feed generations. Like,
I don't even want to think about this NL playoff. Like oh my God.
Is it 1-6, 2-5, 3-4? Is that
No. One doesn't play.
It's something dumb.
One doesn't play. It's 3-6, 2-4.
Okay.
Yeah, because last year we were a 3 seed. Yeah, last year we were a 3 seed. Milwaukee came.
I'm a visual person, so me talking about it right.
Yeah,
now.
I'll show you it, once you see it. It'll make so much more sense. But basically,
when you see it, yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, the National League is going to be absolutely.
Yeah, insane. Top seed's going to get the bye, which is either going to be the Dodgers or the Brewers. Then it's going to be Dodgers or Brewers there, and that second seed there. Phillies in the third seed as of right now. Probably Cubs in the fourth seed, Mets in the fifth. Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
We people deserve Mets, Phillies, Cubs, Brewers. Rob Manfred, make it happen.
We already got Mets, Phillies. I'm bored with them.
I want to see it again. Also,
I'm bored with them.
Consume one another akin to an Ouroboros. Okay, I want them to literally swallow each other.
No, I don't know
what to do with.
We might have to bring the fine jar out. You are wild of the day. That is crazy.
But, Ouroboros? The Ouroboros first. That's not fair. Okay. Come on.
Tail. I know what it is. That was still crazy.
And I get a fine for that? That's crazy.
It's because all of us are here.
I come up with some good rhetoric on here.
Right. We can't be multifaceted. Like, we can't like
God philosophy. Forbid a girl and read baseball, a book.
Right?
Too far.
Women read it. No.
No, I really think the Brewers are for real. And I mean, they passed on a lot of guys, and a lot of people shit on the Brewers for maybe not making more noise at the deadline. I think it was Pat Murphy that said, our deadline was during the season when they got Andrew Vaughn, when they freaking got Quinn Priester from the Red Sox. Okay, that has low key probably been the best acquisition of the non-trade deadline.
Yeah,
that's probably the best thing that they've ever done this season. I should say, pardon me, was getting Quinn Priester. They've got a solid rotation. Their bullpen maybe still has a little question mark because it doesn't have the big flashy guys. But you get Big Miz back. Watch out.
Yeah, but say who cares. Who cares about a bullpen
when
you can like do that? Yeah,
real spooky, get real scary in Milwaukee.
And with Freddie Peralta, like, he just gets so many strikeouts. Like, he's sitting at 141 strikeouts right now. Like, yeah, he just gets so many Jesus Christ. They're going to win a lot of baseball games moving forward, and I'm going to hate that because they sold off everyone. They got rid of their their head of baseball. The Brewers are just so good. That's just that. I think that's just a credit to how well they're built. Like when you build up a franchise from the bottom up, when you're like supposed to pinch pennies and like actually decide like how you're going to spend. I think the Brewers ended up doing something really sustainable there. Like they just have a lot of good going.
Yeah, like the, and that's what I mean. Like they are a very sustainable team. They let Willie Adames walk. They're doing just fine now. Like there's a lot of guys that they've let go. Corbin Burns is gone. That ended up being a blessing. A lot of people were upset that they didn't re-sign him. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like the Brewers, even if they don't win it all this season, the National League is extremely, it's an extremely difficult path to make it and win the pennant. So I think whoever ends up winning it, well-deserved, because it's going to be a dogfight no matter who comes out. But, man, Brewers are for real.
And Woodruff, he's for coming back from Tommy John.
Bro hadn't pitched for like 2 years.
Dude. Yeah. 0.64 whip.
Crazy.
37 strikeouts, 4 walks.
My White Sox are getting stumped out in Seattle right
now. I was wondering what you were craning your head over there for. I was trying to.
No, it's 7-1.
You're watching Malik, White Sox baseball is actually diabolical.
No. We are speeding toward Fun Bad Boulevard. We're going to win 60 games this year.
25 wins since the deadline. The also, Yankees, that? Also 24 wins since the deadline. Yes.
And before we talk about those bumps, Malik, how you feeling? How you feeling about the Brewers?
I got two Brewers I want to shout out real quick. Abner Uribe, he was pitching in the 7th, 8th inning last year whenever they had Williams, 1.99 ERA. And then my boy Grant Anderson, saw him come up with Texas. He strikes out like 7 in his debut. And then it was really shaky rest of his career tenure as a Ranger. Was never the worst pitcher, but had a lot of big run innings. He goes to Milwaukee. He gets, I believe he got DFA to Milwaukee. They found a slight little mechanical, hey, man, you're a little bit too open. They find a little minor tweak, 3.23 ERA for him. But that just shows that it's a pitching factory out there and that it's always going to be options. That bullpen is deep. Like Courtney was saying, I just looked it up. Top 3 in average, tops in steals, tops in on around the top in on-base percentage. And really last year, they were about a pitch away from getting into to advance into the next round.
Yeah, they were. Shout out
Pete. Yeah, but without a guy that we're about to get to speaking on more with the Yankees, if Devin Williams doesn't throw that change up or whatever he threw to Pete, the conversation about them might have been different. But a year of experience under their belt, some new pitchers, of course, like you said, Woodruff is back healthy now. Priester, Miz, he's on the IL now, but I think that's sort of just managing his shoulder. So in September and October, he can be as effective as possible. I definitely think the Brewers are a threat, and they're one of the good stories around baseball, because even me, myself, you know, you hear about the flashy names of Ellie De La Cruz, everybody. I always want to pick Cincinnati Reds. I'm like, you know, they Hunter Green, you got Ellie, you got Tito Francona, and then, you know, the Cubs with PCA and Kyle Tucker. And then, I mean, the dynasty that's always going to be the Cardinals, they get a little, they don't get as much love, but they're like Dante, they're always in the mix. So, with the NL having as many question marks as it does this year, especially with the Dodgers, I think the Dodgers is going to really come down to what Snell and Glass now give. And those two are great, but hopefully they can stay healthy. But this is prime time for the Brewers to strike. I'm ready to see what they'll do this upcoming playoffs.
And if I may, just confirming that the Brewers are indeed the first team in Major League Baseball to 70 wins with their 5-4 win over Dante's Atlanta Braves.
I'll never get tired of hearing at the Braves.
You didn't have to add that last part, but
yes, yes, you did. Yes,
they are. They did win today.
I think it was very important, actually.
Yeah, speaking, like I said,
incredibly important.
Brewers are playing well. And speaking of a guy who used to play for the Brewers who is not playing well, the New York Yankees and that bullpen, they've lost 5 in a row. They've blown a few in dramatic fashion. And my boy Devin Williams has not looked good. His ERA this year is 5.44. That's nasty.
Going when you back talk to about where a guy, I said, Dante, the Brewers got a way of knowing when to let people walk.
Yeah, talking about a guy, I was about to say, did Pete Alonso break him? But I mean, it's talking about a guy who just hasn't been the same. He was hurt. He did, you know, I forgot what he had. But what surgery did he have? He had something done.
Really? Devin Williams? Devin.
Yeah, when he was hurt. What did he?
I think maybe a
meniscus?
Okay, it was something, but I don't want to blame that. We're not gonna blame that. He's just pitched poorly since he's been in New York. And I mean, man, that bullpen has followed suit. You know, they've moved him around, but
he had a back injury.
Okay, yeah. I knew it was something. Huh. You don't play around with your back. But
ask Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. Aaron Judge, you know, we're still waiting, you know, to hear about when he'll be back.
He got cleared yesterday.
So
Aaron Judge did come back on Tuesday.
Yes.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played?
So surely the Yankees won that game, right?
No.
No, well, I was at the ball. The Yankees were in town this week.
Surely Aaron Judge hit two home runs, right?
Yo, Court, you're so funny, dog.
Yeah, the Yanks were in town. Aaron Judge, he debuted off the IL on Tuesday and then played Wednesday when we're recording this. He didn't have a hit. Just something a little annoying thing to me, you know, stop skipping these minor league rehab assignments. Do a game. Do two games. You're never too big for that. I see it all the time. Where
the problem the Yankees are not in that position to be given. Yeah,
they can't afford to have them. Yeah. I was about to say they are, you know, like we just said, they are. But now six and a half games back of Toronto. They are in the third. They've slipped to the third and final wild card spot. I mean, I think Seattle right now, like I said, they're up 7-1 on the White Sox in the second inning.
Yeah,
so it's a lot of baseball left, but they'll probably be a game up by the end of the night. And
the Red Sox are doing their thing. Yeah,
they're not going to catch the Red Sox in my opinion. But Cleveland, Texas, Cleveland and Texas really are. They're both a game and a half back. Yeah, so
yeah, they, so Cleveland just swept us, and they. Jesus.
If they continue to scuffle, you know, this can look nasty.
The unfortunate part, though, is Dante, is that with the Yankee win today over the Rangers, is that they now hold the tiebreaker against the Rangers because of the season series. So, say some weirdness happens, they do own the tiebreaker now.
True. Yeah. I mean, that matters. That is important. But the way they've been playing, they may not even get a chance to.
Speaking of the way that they've been playing, this has been, I have it written down here because this has been a few years in a row now that they've been in this situation. Going back to 2022, 84 games played. They went 61-23 and then proceeded to go 38-40. 2023, they were 48-38 and 86 games played and proceeded to go 34-42. So another second half season under 500. 2024, they started off 49-21 through 80 games played and then ended their season 45-47. Mind you, it did end in a World Series appearance, so anything can happen. But even now, 2025, 42-25 to start the season and have since gone 18-29. Not exactly trending in a positive direction, and this seems to be a running
theme.
This
tells the story, yeah.
And listen, I never like to blame a manager for the faults of the team. Again, Austin Wells not knowing where the fuck, how many outs there are. You know, Aaron Judge injuries, Anthony Volpe doing Anthony Volpe things. But is it time? And again, the Yankees don't be firing managers midseason. I understand.
It's been time, though. It's been time since
What's another month? And a half.
Yeah, like what's another month? It's been time for years.
I know we just extended him, but maybe it's time for a conversation.
For sure, just because like at some point the voice has to change. Not for like any like reason, but like, all right, so let's kind of contextualize the Yankees for the past, let's say 10 years. The Astros years, right?
Aaron Boone's been the manager for what, 8 years now?
Yeah,
it's been a while. It's been a while with Big A.
Yeah. So it started with the Baby Bombers, right? It starts with them. You end up getting a little further than you think. And then we go into the, okay, well, let's compete years. During those times, we think the Orioles are going to be good. We think the Jays are going to be good. We have some upstart Rays teams here and there. But again, it's been about the Astros. And now, like, you know, just how – I don't know how many more iterations of this team can exist before we say, hey, something has to change. Because, again, this has been Aaron Judge's entire career. Like, from the baby bombers to MVP. This is who Aaron – like, I you know, the voice has to change.
Here – go ahead.
If I might, and this is kind of a group question, is it maybe also, again, beyond Aaron Boone, because I don't like to just blame team, abject team failures on one person. But I think the Yankees as a whole seem to have issues with, like, even right now in the year 2025, we're still talking about Jason Dominguez and his need to develop. We've been talking about this kid since, like, he was 14 years old and how he was, like, supposed to be the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it's 2025 now, and we have Aaron Boone still talking about how Jason Dominguez is still learning and still – and maybe that's true of every player, right? Like, we're always learning and growing. But you know what I mean? Like, at what point do you have to admit that maybe he's not the player that you expected him to be?
When Spencer Jones gets there.
This,
who they won't trade for anyone except Paul Skeens.
Man, and isn't his strikeout? His strikeout percentage is ridiculous. Like, he is bombs, but I mean, what is like it?
But that's kind of the Yankee.
That's the mentality. Yankee development thing, and that kind of goes back to their not even their manager. This goes back to their GM, who they've had for 20 plus years now. Maybe again, something should change.
But Malik, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
The two takeaways that I got from the Yankees this week. One, Devin Williams don't want to be in New York. And I think a lot of the guys, there's a lot of pressure. Of course, you know, I mean, it's baseball. There's pressure everywhere, but it is different in New York. I don't think a lot of those guys are embracing that. And when they're struggling, and it's a fear of failure that I feel like when Devin Williams is out there pitching, he blew the save the first night. And then the next night he comes, you know, Boone, questionable decision to throw him out there, but he got the first two guys out. A drop fly ball by Jason Dominguez. And I think, you know, oh, here we go again. And then 10 pitch at bat, Rowdy Tellez gets him. Another point I want to make about the Yankees is their defense is just not good. And with Aaron Judge going on the IL and not being able to throw a baseball, I did hear something that he may be trying to get back into the outfield in a few weeks, but there's a log jam at DH. They have like five DHs on that team. You can't play Stanton at defense if you play Judge at DH. So that takes Stanton's bat out of the lineup. Jason Dominguez, he's watching him play left field. It was very uncomfortable for me. I get it. You're a center fielder. You're coming up. It shouldn't be that hard to adjust. And that's why I've always said center field is the easiest of the outfield positions. They are going to have to shore up their defense. And if Judge is, it's going to be really tough because you're losing. If Judge can't come back, you don't shore up your defense by putting Giancarlo Stanton out there. But who knows what Judge's arm is like if he's coming. So if they can't correct their defense and find some guys that are going to actually want to embrace playing in New York, I think they fall out of the play. I don't think they make the playoff spot. They did salvage a game in the series Wednesday. That was a Carlos Rodon start and really a game I think the Rangers gave away. I want to say they left over 10 runners on base, had chances. Big bomb by Goldschmidt. Like I said, good start by Carlos Rodon. But if they don't find some players that want to be there and they don't find some defense, which that's a cultural thing when it comes to the defensive side of the ball. I think it could be trouble, and I don't know if they bring Aaron Boone back, but they've had Boone's back for the last few years, so we'll see. Maybe that World Series gets them a few extra years.
Question, do they Bryce Harper Aaron Judge, where they just throw him at first base and just say, figure it out, because they should?
That's one of my thoughts, too, and I believe Goldie only signed a year contract. He was not there for long.
Just DH him versus lefties, because we were talking about it in pre-show. He's mashing versus lefties. So, like,
Yeah. Is Aaron Judge hitting 410 against lefties?
Probably not. If we have to ask, you know, yeah, neither do I. It's probably not 410 though.
For those listening, yeah. I do not think Paul Goldschmidt is better than Aaron Judge. Please don't send me death threats to my DMs.
Well, I mean, a 6'7" first baseman, I think it could work. I mean, there's no other spot you could go, especially if you're arming.
That should be illegal, by the way. There's got to be, we're talking about a salary cap. I need a height cap because why are you, go play basketball. Go help LeBron.
I mean, he should be on somebody's defensive end getting 15 sacks a year.
Line up with Myles Garrett. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Aaron Judge and LeBron would be the funniest lineup ever.
I mean, hey. everybody put their input in about the Yankees, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, just wanted to make sure. But, yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, I know anytime a team in New York is struggling, we act like the sky is falling. But with them, it's been, you know, pretty bad lately. And even
lately,
it doesn't feel like there's any sense of urgency. That's the issue. Usually, like, if a team's faltering at the beginning of the season, you know, the phrase is, oh, you know, it's still early, right? Or if they're starting to struggle in, like, late May, early June, oh, okay. It's getting early late, you know, but now it's just getting late, bro. Aaron Boone said it too. It's getting late.
It's been late for the Yankees since like 2011.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, like you said, they made the World Series and they were a dropped fly ball from possibly winning it, which is just absolutely insane when you think about it in hindsight. Like the sting is worn off, you know, for me as a fan, because I'm not a Yankee fan, so I don't care. But when I actually went back and, like, you know how Samsung has the MLB channel to just plays games, they were playing the game and I was like, holy shit, they really blew the World Series in like dramatic fashion. So I mean, it's gonna be crazy in the Bronx. We're gonna see, you know, how they bounce back from this. Right now they still have that last wild card spot, but as we all know, the end of the season is gonna get crazy. So I mean, let's see what happens. And as we do every week, first time in a long time, we got all four of us here. We're going to wrap this up with our series to watch. I'm going to go first because I'm going to be quick. And no, I am not going to tell you to watch the Braves and the Marlins. Even though the Marlins are playing some good baseball, that's not the series I'm going to pick. I'm going to tell you to watch the Boston Red Sox against the San Diego Padres. I think that's going to be a really, really good series. Game one tomorrow, you got Walker Buehler against Pivetta. That's two teams that are in the playoff push, and like I said, two different divisions. But I think the fact that we have interleague play year round, I really enjoy it just as a fan of baseball, because you know, you get to see some unique matchups, teams that would have, you know, back, as we like to say, if we're officially at that age, we can say back in my day, they would have played each other, you know, one series this year, and that would have been it. So, you know, with these two teams in the playoff push this time of year, them coming, Boston has to come to the West Coast. They'll be playing in San Diego. I think that's going to be a really good series to watch this week. So that's who I got. Sid, I'm going to pass it over to you. What's your series this week?
We are watching the Mets potentially lose and be swept by the league best Milwaukee Brewers. Thankfully, though, we have some really good pitching matchups. We have Kodai Senga and Brandon Woodruff going on Friday. We have a nice old TBD versus Logan Henderson on Saturday. And then Sunday, we have Sean Manaea versus Quinn Priester. So, make or break series for the Mets probably, but it would be nice to see them actually like play baseball with some life. But we'll see.
Sir. Courtney, who you got? You're muted.
So sorry, I was hiccuping, my bad. I am going back to a team we were discussing earlier, and I am talking Astros, Yankees. It's must-watch television, in my opinion, especially if you're a Yankee fan. I would definitely want to tune into this series. Friday, we got Hunter Brown and Cam Schlitter on the mound for the Yankees. Framber Valdez versus Luis Gil on Saturday. And then TBD for the Yankees, or TBD, for the Astros. And then Max Fried suiting up for the Yankees. good to know, just for historical context, the Astros are 22-25 in games played at Yankee Stadium since 2016. Just highlighting a couple of notable players. Jose Altuve has hit .283 with 6 home runs, 13 RBI and 22 runs in 37 career games against the Yankees. But this season in particular, he is hitting .281 with 19 homers and 59 RBI and has a 155 WRC plus this season, since May 22nd, to be specific. Dude's going crazy. Jeremy Pena is batting .333 with 2 doubles, a triple, 3 RBI since his return from the IL. And I'm pretty sure he's still the American League leader at the shortstop position in WAR with 5.4. Also notable, Carlos Correa, in his first week with the Astros, is batting .286 with a homer, 2 RBI, and 6 runs scored since he was traded back to Houston. So I feel like maybe he's warming back up to his old and former team.
Yeah. Malik, bring us home, bro. What's your series?
Well, another good week of baseball in Arlington. And the first place Philadelphia Phillies will be in town, I believe. I just saw a notification. I'm watching this Diamondbacks Padre game. I just saw a notification that Nola or Wheeler, one of them is pitching, got their start pushed back to Sunday. That means they'll take on Patrick Corbin. And I also believe we'll see Jacob DeGrom Saturday, if my calculations are correct. Team he'd made his Ranger debut against, the Phillies, a few years ago. Rangers playing better ball, playing good at home, but they're going to need to take this series. We've seen a lot of the guys in the lineup struggle. Adolis Garcia, Josh Smith, Corey Seager, slow weeks for those guys. But somebody put the defibrillator on Jock Peterson. He is back. He's reached base, I believe, in 6 straight plate appearances, had a game-tying home run, was on base 4 times, went Tuesday, and then a pinch hit walk on Wednesday. So the Rangers can get Jock playing good baseball. That adds so much depth to the lineup because he's been a black spot, and he's been batting top between 3rd and 5th all season. That black hole just has not benefited the Rangers at all. But if he's playing ball, he's hitting the ball well. The team is gonna hit another level. So Phillies versus Rangers will be my series to watch.
Yes, sir. And that is it for this amazing episode, episode 16. Once again, it feels good to have everybody back in the field. Like I said, that was a quick 55 minutes. Didn't feel like it at all. You know where to follow my people at. _ Team Meal, 1-800-CALLABRO. Sid Slot Park. I always fuck that up. But yeah, I got that right this time. My boy Sid, check him out. Our resident star tender. You know where to follow us, Barber Sir Cole on Twitter and Instagram. Follow me at October's on Tay at Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. We have 4 very affordable tiers. Highest one is $10. Show us a little love. It would be greatly appreciated. If you want any merch, check out bcnetshop.com. And for everything Barbershare Network, make sure you check out thebcnet.com. I'm about to hop off here. I got to produce an episode of King's Landing tonight. You all be blessed. Be safe. Everybody be good. It's a lot of great baseball. We headed into the home stretch, and we will see y'all next week.